Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you during the middle of a 5-5 ball game, bottom of the eighth inning. Marcus Semien just flew out to end the top of the eighth. Jonathan Ornelas had just worked a beautiful eight-pitch walk. A little bit of a questionable call on the very last pitch. Josh Spores in right now for the Rangers. I'll try and bring y'all the play-by-play as we hang out on a Friday night here. Game on Apple TV tonight. Hasn't been terrible. I've got a few observations to share about the Apple TV broadcast. We like to get into the minutiae of the game a little bit here while we hang out. So I'll give y'all some thoughts on that. But Josh Spores in. It's a 5-5 game, bottom of the eighth. Feels like a game, to be completely honest, that the Rangers should be winning right now. In fact, if not for some defensive issues in the early innings, they probably would be. We're going to get into everything in a little bit here. We're going to recap scoring, give you some big moments in the game. Going to highlight a few key players in this one. Spoiler alert, Adolis Garcia has been pretty huge. But we're going to talk through a lot of that here in just a little bit and bring you the play-by-play the rest of the way as we go. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, y'all, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Thank you so much for choosing Right on Rangers. Ton of options out there for Texas Rangers content. Appreciate you supporting the channel, supporting the account, and being here with us tonight, whether live or on the replay. Let's finish this one out together, and hopefully we can get another Texas Rangers win. The Rangers are going for their sixth win in a row. 5-5 ball game in the eighth inning. Marcus Semien makes a pretty nice play, spinning play, to get the first out. A ball hit pretty much right on the button. So one out here, Josh Spores on in the bottom of the eighth. And we are going to see if the Rangers can get this one to the ninth. They'll have Corey Seager. And I think at this point it's Leody who's hitting in the three spot. I think they subbed out Robbie Grossman. Leody in the three spot. Wyatt Langford in the four spot. So you'll have Seager, Tavares, Langford coming up in the top of the ninth. Hopefully we can make it there, y'all. Right now, 1-1 count. Again, one out, bottom of the eighth. I'm going to start going through some different talking points in the game, going through some key moments. Tell you about who's been real impactful in this one for the Rangers. Let me check out comments real quick. What's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate you, Alex. You're not going to like this, but I'm an Astros fan. Hey, you know what? We try and be kind and cordial to everybody here. If you want to hang out and chat baseball, no worries at all. I can't promise you there won't be some roasting going on in the chat, though. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a warning, but you are more than welcome to hang out. All right, we got a 1-2 count here, 1-2 count in this one. We're going to give you some updates, too, on what's going on in Frisco. Kumar Rocker pitching for Frisco tonight. Josh Jung making his, I don't want to say debut, making his second appearance in the minors for a rehab assignment. Looks like he was 1-for-3 on the day, by the way. Josh Jung, 1-for-3 down in Frisco. Kumar Rocker, 3 innings pitched, 1 hit, 4 strikeouts. No earned runs, no walks, so a really good outing from Rocker. Cody Bradford actually pitched for Frisco tonight as well. He went 2 2/3, 1 hit, no walks, 2 Ks. So Rocker and Bradford, everybody on rehab assignment, pitching really, really well. Rocker, not as much on the rehab assignment, although he is going to be coming back from injury here. A little bit of trouble here. Looks like we've got a double into the corner, 2 outs. Josh Spores was able to strike out the last batter. So we're going to have 2 outs with a runner on second here for the Blue Jays. That was Leo Jimenez doubling to right field. Kind of just a hard opposite field fly ball right down the line. One hops the wall. Dolly with a strong throw in, but wasn't quite able to get Jimenez. Looks like Kiermaier is up in first pitch. He will ground out to third baseman Jonathan Ornelas. So the Rangers will go to the top of the ninth with a tie ball game. Josh Spores gives up a double, strikes out one, but that is it. Jonathan Ornelas has been making some nice plays over there at third base. He almost had a huge one against Springer in the top of the, or excuse me, in the bottom of the seventh inning. Just barely missed a highlight reel play, charging in on a swinging bump by George Springer. Springer beat it out by less than half a step. But I continue to be impressed with how Jonathan Ornelas is playing. I really do continue to be very much impressed by him and his defensive ability. And Jonathan Ornelas, if you're not watching the game, he just worked about an 8-pitch walk, I want to say. 8-pitch walk to get on base. Marcus Semien in the top of the 8th wasn't able to do anything with it. But Jonathan Ornelas, nice game tonight. Josh Smith, not sure why he's not in the game. They seem to do this every once in a while. It always happens to be on a Friday night. Natalie, I'm going to get to this comment from you real quick. The comment, why wasn't Josh Smith playing today? I've just noticed this weird trend that they do with Josh Smith where they bench him on Friday night games to open up a series. I really don't know what it is. I guarantee it's probably just routine rest. Maybe he's hurt, but I haven't heard anything like that. And you would think that that probably would have been all over social media if he was dealing with something. I haven't seen anything like that. If somebody has heard, let me know. Let us know in the chat. But I think this is just one of those weird, ill-timed off days that Bruce Bochy likes to give to Josh Smith, Corey Seager, and some other guys. It's like, come on, we're on a win streak right before the trade deadline. If Josh Smith isn't hurt, I got to say, I don't love the move. I really feel like they've got to be playing everybody full go here. You can't pull any of this rest in the middle of an opportunity to really lock down the trade deadline and any uncertainty there. You've got 2.5 games out of first place. You're right behind the Mariners. I don't get it, but I almost guarantee that they're just going to say he needed a day off, needed a little rest. He'll be back in the lineup tomorrow. I don't love it, but I almost guarantee that's what's going to be said in the postgame. Yeah, Langford, I'm just checking comments right now. Langford was totally robbed today. Scorching line drive in the right center field gap. Kind of like, honestly, the game before. He had a couple of balls that were smoked into the right center field gap. We're talking about Wyatt Langford right now. And just got super, super unlucky. By the way, Corey Seager up to bat right now, 1-2 count. Let's see if Seags can work some late inning magic for us once again. Man, that would be nice. But Wyatt Langford, let me see if I can get you guys the stats on that. 106 off the bat on that Wyatt Langford right center field line drive that Kiermaier is able to make a highlight reel play on. So Wyatt Langford, he easily could have 2 hits tonight. He's 1-for-4 with a run scored. Adolis Garcia, probably the story of the game at this point, had a really big 2-out RBI single in the first. Also, 2-run homer. The shortest home run at Rogers Center now belongs to Adolis Garcia. It was one that he actually kind of drove pretty well opposite field, just kept carrying and carrying. There was a little confusion on the field, but Dolly just able to keep the home run fair that actually put the Rangers up 5-4 in this one. Corey Seager grounds out, by the way, right up the middle. They were playing him perfectly, so there's one out now. And looks like Leody Taveras will continue to hit, step in the box here. So they were talking about, they were musing whether or not Josh Smith might come in and pinch hit for Leody here. Maybe if Seager gets on, but with Seager getting out, I think they decided to go ahead and keep Leody in there. Maybe save Josh Smith for extra innings if they are not able to get a run across here in the 9th. Leody goes 2-1, just fouls one off here. Again, we're just bringing you play-by-play. Top of the 9th right now. Rangers, Jays tied 5-5. There's one out. Leody Taveras up to bat. We'll see what happens here in the 9th. We're hanging out with you. We're going to try and do this a couple of times, especially with these huge games coming up before the trade deadline. Although a big story came out today from Ken Rosenthal, who pretty much confirms that the Rangers are going to be buyers in this one. They are not going to be selling. In fact, they are going to be buying. Apparently, that is straight from Chris Young, reported by Ken Rosenthal. So perhaps Rangers fans can all take a collective breath here. There's a long way to go before we are playoff bound or anything of that nature, but the Rangers do not appear to be doing any kind of big selling. In fact, they will be looking to add. They will be buyers at the deadline, according to Ken Rosenthal. We will see what happens and who the Rangers are able to acquire. A few names have been thrown out there. Yandy Diaz from the Rays. A lot of Rays players. Paredes, I've been talking about Paredes from the Rays. And Yandy Diaz, both corner guys from the Rays. And Tampa Bay appears to be in pretty much full sail mode as Leody strikes out on a foul tip. Wyatt Langford will come up with 2 outs and nobody on. We'll see what Wyatt does here. And as we were saying, Rangers in buy mode. I'm going to be very curious if it's not one of those bats, who they'll go out and get. They also are looking for a controllable reliever. So I don't know if there's a lot of names I've heard for relievers, but I have heard those two names from Tampa Bay. Again, the Rays appear to be in full sail mode with the division pretty far out of reach for them. It is true they are still kind of in the hunt, barely for wild card. I think they're like 5 games out at this point. The Rangers at least have division and they have wild card hopes. Rays only have the wild card, and it is a very, very congested race right now for that third wild card spot. Right now, Wyatt Langford in a 2-2 count. Langford has been able to foul off a couple here. So hopefully with 2 strikes, he can make something happen. Looks like Wyatt just got called out on strikes. It was fastball on the outer half of the plate. It was definitely a strike. So we will go to the bottom of the 9th inning here. Disappointing top of the 9th from the Rangers. We'll see who they bring on in the bottom half to push this one to extra innings. But it does look like the Rangers want to win this one. They'll need to do it in the 10th and beyond. Pretty good pitch. I wish Wyatt would have been pulling the trigger there, maybe expecting some off speed. But that's a pitch just kind of center out, I would say, that Wyatt knew it was a strike right away, put his head down, headed back to the dugout. So we will go to the bottom of the 9th. Not sure who the Rangers are going to be bringing on. I don't have the audio on the broadcast or anything like that. Maybe it'll be a Robertson or Yates if I had to guess, but we shall see. The answer will be here soon enough. Let's go back to Doley during the commercial break here. So Adolis Garcia, 2-run homer that put the Rangers up 5-4. And then made an incredible play, I believe it was, in the bottom of the 7th inning. Low line drive, made a diving catch, and then threw out Justin Turner, who was expecting that ball to drop, threw him out at second base. Rangers able to get out of a bases loaded jam with only 1 run scoring. There were bases loaded, no outs. Jonathan Hernandez was up. It's kind of a tough deal for Hernandez. We talked about Jonathan Ornelas almost making another web gem top 5 play on a swinging bump by George Springer. Springer beats it by maybe a quarter of a step. And from there was a double off the wall by Justin Turner. They walked Vladimir Guerrero, so bases loaded, no outs. Jansen flew out to the track, which scored Springer on a sac fly. And then very next hitter, Horwitz comes up, Jacob Latz on the bump, and Horwitz is able to get one into the outfield, a hard line drive. Doley makes the great play, doubles up Turner, and the Rangers get out of a pretty big mess. So Jonathan Hernandez gives us 2 solid innings today. I continue to be really pleased with what I'm seeing from Jonathan Hernandez. Jonathan Hernandez has pitched very well. You look at his last 7 games, last 15 games. I don't think that the numbers really tell the whole story. 3.91 ERA in his last 15. The walks still continue to be a little bit of an issue for Jonathan Hernandez. And of course, today roughed up a little bit. I do think Jonathan Hernandez being asked to go multi-innings does not always work out the greatest. If you look at his game log, a lot of the times where they ask him to go multiple innings is when he's giving up runs. So tonight they ask him to go multiple innings. It's not a shock to me that he got into a little bit of trouble, albeit the tough luck on the Springer swinging bunt. Speaking of, George Springer up right now, and Josh Boers is on to pitch another inning. Interesting decision here. There was a little bit of chatter about the Rangers and the bullpen lineup as it was unfolding. Why weren't they going to maybe a Robertson or Yates? Why were they asking Hernandez to go multiple innings? Maybe those guys just needed a little more time. You know, Kirby Yates pitched 3 days in a row, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, did not pitch Wednesday, did not pitch Thursday. I think he probably needed a little bit of a break after those 3 in a row. If I had to guess, maybe we'll still see him tonight. But I was thinking to myself as the whole situation was unfolding with the bullpen, maybe they're just hoping that they can get out of this game without having to use him. It is a lot of use for Kirby Yates, who's getting up there in age, right? Kirby Yates is nearing 40 years old. Look, a lot of guys are pitching up until 40. In fact, Max Scherzer, I believe, turns 40 tomorrow. There's a lot of guys in the league who are 40 and still throwing well. But I can imagine at this stage in his career, Kirby Yates, the recovery is probably a little bit more difficult. And they're probably trying to get out of this one without having to use him, if at all possible. By the way, Justin Turner up right now. It's a 1-2 count. Josh Boers still in, asked to go a second inning to get this one to extras. He was able to get George Springer on a swing and strikeout, and now he faces Turner and He'll be facing Vladimir Guerrero after that. If Vladdy or Turner are able to reach, Danny Jansen will be on. Looks like we have got a foul ball here, so it is still a 1-2 count. We're bringing you the play-by-play, finishing out this game with y'all, 5-5 in the bottom of the ninth. Rangers looking to press this one to extra innings. So good to see Dolie's stock rising a little bit right now. Not that they're looking to shop him or anything like that, but Dolie is definitely on the rise. The at-bats appear to be a little bit better. He looks like the shades of 2023 in this little mini stretch that he's on. Look, I'm not declaring that he's back, but I will say it's good to see him getting two out hits, driving the ball, being patient up there. It's refreshing after so much struggle for Dolie in the month of June and into July. So good to see Adolis having a nice game. Justin Turner just singled to center field, kind of a soft line drive on a slider, and they are going to pinch run for him almost immediately, get a little speed on the base paths. Looks like Baroa is in to pinch run for Justin Turner, and Vladimir Guerrero will step up with an opportunity to drive in the game-winning run in the bottom of the ninth here. They will be keeping the pinch runner at first base pretty close. Looks like he has got a lot of speed. Not sure how many bases that he has stolen on the year. Pitch one is a ball high and inside. A little check on the runner as well here. And as we go, there's a lot of Rangers too. You look up in this lineup, up and down, a lot of Rangers tonight with multiple hits. Jonah Heim with two hits, Grossman two hits, Seager two hits, Dolie two hits. Would be a shame to waste this offensive performance against a lefty as well, right? Rangers have struggled against lefties almost all year long, and this was actually a really good showing against the Toronto starter, Kikuchi, who is a big trade piece, at least a piece that's being thrown around out there. Who knows if it'll be moved or not. Looks like we've got a 2-1 count right now. But honestly, it's felt like the Rangers all game long really should be winning this game by 2 or 3 runs. I mean, that's just the feel this game has. Trust me, there's been plenty of Rangers games where I felt like we should be down 3 or 4 runs. In this game, I actually feel like we should be winning. It doesn't always work out that way in baseball. But here we are. 5-5 game, bottom of the ninth, one out. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. up and looks like swinging strike on a high four-seamer from Josh Boers. So it's a 2-2 count with a runner on first base and one out. Maybe a little roll me over double play here. Wouldn't that be nice? Whew. It is tense times here. Don't want to see this 5-game winning streak come to an end, y'all. I do not want to see it. I want to see us take this entire series, go on a little 8-game heater, go to St. Louis with maybe a tie for the division lead or 1 game back. You just don't want to see these winning streaks come to an end. You just want to ride these streaks as long as possible. Right now, looks like Vladdy is fouling off a couple here in a row. So it is still a 2-2 count at this point. Let's see if Josh Boers can get us out of this one. And if we were to be able to get to extras, we would have Dolie, Nate Lowe, and Jonah Heim coming up in the top of the 10th inning. Wyatt Langford goes to second base, which is huge because you know Langford is pretty much going to score on anything to the outfield with his speed. Guerrero fouls off another one here, still a 2-2 count. So if we're able to get to the top of the 10th, I feel pretty good about our chances of getting ahead 6-5, maybe even more. We've got some hitters that have been in a groove. Dolie, Lowe, Heim has been playing better of late. So we'll see. Hopefully we can get this to the top of the 10th, y'all. I'm on the edge of my seat just like everybody else, every other Rangers fan at home here. Nate Lowe almost got a foul ball. Oh, it was so close, just over the outstretched glove. One of those that he had to run back on in foul territory over the shoulder, not able to quite get it. Looks like Baroa is able to steal second base here. Unfortunately, not really much of a contest. He steals that base pretty clean. So double play is now out of order. Kind of a really bad off pitch by Josh Boers there. High and tight. Vladdy had to move out of the way. It was going pretty much right at his head. So high and tight, some chin music from Josh Boers. And now there's a runner on second base. I would imagine they're going to be very careful to Vladdy right now. I don't think that I would be pitching to him or giving him anything too good at this point. We'll see. They pitch to him, looks like here, a fastball on the outer half. He fouls it off again. And they are playing with fire a little bit right now. With a base open here, I really don't know how much you want to mess around with Vladdy. And it looks like they will walk him. Josh Boers, fastball low. So we now will go to the cleanup hitter for the Blue Jays, Danny Jansen, he's 1-for-3 with an RBI. The RBI came off the sack fly in the seventh inning. So double play ball back in order with one out. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. works a 9-pitch walk. Kind of intentional. Once the base was stolen there, you really don't want to let Vladdy beat you. At least I wouldn't. Looks like a little mound visit is in order here after the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. walk. Josh Bors out on the mound right now, being asked to go multiple innings, much like Jonathan Hernandez was. It's tough. Kirby Yates is warming up out in the bullpen right now. We'll see if he's going to be getting the call here or if this is just a little pep talk. But they will do a quick mound visit, and we'll see what happens for the decision. I'll keep you guys posted here. But Yates is up in the bullpen, is getting loose. Looks like Bochy is slowly making his way to the top step. I don't know, y'all. The suspense is killing. They're just trying to give Kirby as much time as possible. I think maybe they'll end up throwing a pitch here, but I imagine there. Yep, here comes Boch. They're going to go to Kirby Yates right now with runners on first and second and one out with Danny Jansen up. Righty on righty matchup. I think Kirby Yates with his repertoire, ground ball pitcher, I think that is the right move. I think they wanted to wait, maybe use him in the bottom of the 10th, but they're going to call on him right now. Yates rested 2 days, so hopefully he's fresh and ready to go. A little commercial break right now. So we'll get back to our analysis of the game here. Again, we talked about four different Rangers, multi-hits, Seager, Grossman, Garcia, and Heim. Foscue, Ornelas, both 0-for tonight. Foscue, 105 on the season. I can't imagine he's going to be up a whole lot longer with the big league club, especially with Josh Jung on the horizon. Josh Jung tonight, by the way, 1-for-3, did strike out once, but I don't know if he – it looks like he has been pulled too, so Josh Jung's night is done for the Frisco Rough Riders. He went 1-for-3 tonight, played a little third base, so his night is over with. Bradford, 2 2/3 innings. Cody Bradford, 1 hit allowed, 2 Ks. So both Rangers – rehabbing at Double A Frisco. Great to see them having good outings, good performances. 1-for-3. Can't complain about that. Rough night for the Rough Riders, though. 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position and 8 left on base. Ouch. Ouch. Back to the Rangers game, though. We're going to keep going here. Marcus Semien in his return to Toronto. Y'all remember, Simi bounced around a little bit, but he played for Toronto right before signing with the Rangers. Had a 40-plus home run season, won the Silver Slugger. So Simi returning back to Rogers Center, 1-for-5 on the night with a run scored. Beyond that, Nate Lowe, 0-for-2, but with 2 walks on the night. Good to see him on base a couple of different times. Leody has subbed in for Robbie Grossman, 0-for-1 on the night for Leody with a strikeout. And in terms of pitching, Andrew Heaney pitched tonight. He went 5 innings, gave up 7 hits, 1 walk, 4 earned runs. I really don't know, how they did not give Corey Seager an error in what was it, the bottom of the first inning. I really don't know how they gave Corey Seager, how they didn't give him an error there. So Corey Seager, I know it's because it was on a double play attempt and Corey Seager still gotten out. It goes down as a fielder's choice. But Andrew Heaney with one out got a very obvious double play ball. And Corey Seager tried to go unassisted double play and missed the bag at second base and was able to get the runner at first by multiple steps. I think it was Danny Jansen, the guy who's up to bat right now in a 1-1 count as Kirby Yates comes on for Josh Bors. But Seager could have easily taken his time, made sure he hit the bag and then thrown over and still gotten Jansen by probably a couple of steps. And after that, the Jays would go on to hit a couple extra base hits and go up 3-1. So in my opinion, Andrew Heaney, his box score, his stat line, Not really telling the whole story here. Andrew Heaney, I think, actually pitched pretty well. Just a bummer to see him have to throw extra pitches in that bottom of the first inning. You know, he's got to bounce back and make better pitches after the Seager mishap. But it really sucks that he gets all the earned runs in that spot. I mean, he should probably have 2 earned runs on the night. They don't give Corey Seager the error for missing the base on the double play attempt, which, look, it does make sense to an extent. He still gets an out, but I still say error on the misstep, not hitting second base, and it would have been a couple less earned runs for Andrew Heaney. 2-2 count right now, by the way, for Danny Jansen. Runners on first and second for Toronto with a chance to win the ball game here. One out. Kirby Yates looking for that double play ball at this point, bringing you the play-by-play here, y'all. We're trying to get this thing to the 10th. We'll see what happens. Looks like Kirby Yates gets called strike three on a fastball at the knees. Kirby Yates, my goodness, coming in clutch. Let's see if he can complete the job here. He will have a tough out. Horwitz hit the double off of Andrew Heaney right after the Corey Seager mishap on the double play ball. So Horwitz has not been an easy out. He had that great at-bat against Jacob Latz. Dolie made a great play on a diving catch on a line drive by Horwitz that ended up ending the seventh inning. So this is going to be a tough out. That was like an 8, 9, or 10, probably even a 10-pitch at-bat from Horwitz against Latz back in the seventh. So Kirby Yates tasked with striking out, sitting down at the very least Horwitz here. He goes ball one, ball two, so it's a 2-0 count at the moment. Tried the fastball on pitch number one, missed low. Tried the splitter on pitch two, missed outside. So 2-0 count here for Horwitz, the Blue Jays second baseman. Kirby Yates on right now, trying to get the Rangers to the top of the 10th. Ball three on a splitter down. I don't know if Yates is just missing spots here or being really, really careful. Looks like he's missing spots a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if they green light Horwitz here on a 3-0 count. So Yates, I think, got to be careful here. Clement up next. Looks like they're going to go ahead and intentionally walk Horwitz after the three pitches. So they're going to intentionally walk. Looks like Kirby Yates actually kind of signaled to the dugout that he wanted that walk. Maybe I misread that, but it looked like the body language looked like he kind of signaled to the dugout, waving the four fingers, and they are going to bring up the righty Clement, who is 1-for-4 with an RBI on the night. So Kirby Yates wanting the righty-on-righty matchup. Bases are loaded right now. Look, I have mixed feelings about this. You had a runner on second. You're intentionally walking, bases loaded. Now anything to the outfield for sure is going to win the game. And it looks like that's exactly what is going to happen here. Oh, my goodness. Line drive to left field. Game over. Oh, first pitch as well. And the Blue Jays will win it. Disappointing loss for the Rangers. Disappointing loss for Texas here. Think it's a game that they're going to look back on and wish that they would have won. I'm going to close down my other setup here. But let's talk this one through. Now that we've got the final result here, 6-5, Blue Jays win it. Walk off in the bottom of the ninth after Kirby Yates comes on, strikes out Jansen, intentionally walks Horwitz, and Clement comes up to deliver the line drive RBI single to win it. Oh, so disappointing. Disappointing because the Rangers had such a good game offensively, and this was a game you felt like Texas really should have won. Really should have won. You think about the three runs that the Blue Jays scored in the bottom of the first. Corey Seager missing the base, trying to tag it unassisted. Just a really, really huge bummer that the Rangers are not able to get game one. So the five-game winning streak comes to an end. Rangers now drop two games under 500. We'll do a little scoreboard watching here. I hate that you have to do this, but Houston does appear to be up 4-0 right now on the Dodgers. So the Rangers with the loss would drop 3.5 to 3.5 games back. Mariners are clobbering the White Sox right now. So the Rangers will be 2.5 games back of second place. Unfortunately, both Mariners and Astros looking like they're going to be getting the wins today. So a little pressure on the Rangers. Little pressure on them over the next 2 days to win a couple ball games. Really have to have a thin margin for error. Really have to have that thin margin for error right now. Corey Seager, the mistake in the first inning, it just can't happen from your best players. I don't want to blame everything on Seegs. The Rangers pitchers have to be a little bit sharper as well. I feel like they've been carrying the team all year, though, so I just don't feel like going scorched earth on them. But I really do think there were just a couple of little miscues today, a few opportunities missed. Rangers should have won this game by multiple runs. Rangers go 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. So the effort could have been better there. Jonah Heim did leave the bases loaded, although he came up a couple innings later with bases loaded and was able to drive in two runs. But the Rangers did definitely leave some things on the table today. And so they drop this game, the first game of a three-game set with the Blue Jays. They will most likely drop to 2.5 games back from second place, 3.5 games back from first. So we'll look to go on Saturday, Sunday and get a couple of wins, y'all. That's going to have to be the plan. I don't think that the Rangers have to win this series in order for the ship to stay afloat. think the Rangers need to win at least one of the next two. They said, or we said here on the live many times, just go 5-2 this week. The Rangers are 4-1 this week. So just win one more game out of the next two, and I think you'll be good. I don't think that the Rangers want to have that mentality. I think they wanted to come in here and sweep and make it 8 straight. But I think looking at it as it's a long season, it's 162 games, just think about going 5-2 over the course of a week. Any team's going to take that. So if the Rangers can just win one of the next two, I think I can live with that. That would put them 2 games under 500 going into the St. Louis series. Ideally, you want to win the next two, of course. You want to just win series and stack up those series wins. But let's keep the big picture. The Rangers are 4-1 this week. And I think that they've made it very clear. Chris Young came out, Ken Rosenthal reporting, that the Rangers are going to be buyers at the deadline. I have no idea why there would suddenly be some kind of backtracking on that after this loss, a very close loss to the Blue Jays, one that you easily could have won. They could have won this game. I agree. This game absolutely sucks how it finished out. I don't know. Will Bruce Bochy look back and wish that he would have just had Kirby Yates come on in the top of the ninth? I don't want to just throw away this game without any analysis here. I don't know. I think maybe you do go with Yates in the top of the ninth. I think they tried to squeeze everything they could out of Josh Boers. In my opinion, the multi-inning thing, there's only a couple of guys on this Rangers club that can do it well. I think you asked David Robertson to go multi-innings. I can hang with that. I can roll with that. But Hernandez, even Leclerc, I know Leclerc had a good multi-inning outing the other day, but Leclerc is one of those guys more often than not struggles with multi-inning appearances. I would have preferred Kirby Yates to send this one to extras or David Robertson to send this one to extras, unless this was a planned off day for David Robertson. But Josh Boers looked like he was going to get out of it. Not quite, though. Kirby Yates almost got us to the top of the 10th. I really think if we get to the top of the 10th, it's probably a Rangers win. It's unfortunate that we couldn't get there. So let me keep going here. Let me put this up. Everyone stop reporting the Ken Rosenthal post. There's been no corroborating news from Olmert or other MLB insiders and no Rangers reporter. Interesting. Well, I think that there's two different ways to take that. You know, one, maybe Rosenthal does have some kind of in. Think you could go with that. Seems weird that he would just throw that out there without any kind of merit behind it. So I would probably play the middle here. I don't think that it's a nothing burger. I don't think that maybe it's 100% accurate. I don't know. That's what I would probably say for it. I don't think Ken Rosenthal is, Buster only. I don't think Ken Rosenthal is coming out though with that kind of news, just making it up or lying about it. So it's probably somewhere in the middle. But I would imagine, though, nevertheless, just piecing together things that CY has said. I mean, maybe if they get swept, you take your foot off that buyer gas. But I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't see the Rangers getting swept in Toronto. So anything can happen. Baseball is crazy. That would suck. But I don't see it. I think that the Rangers should buy your 3.5 games back of the division with 50-plus games to go, 58, 59 games left. I really think that the Rangers are in a decent position right now where they can feel good about buying. I don't think you need to sell the farm, but I do think that you can part with a few pieces here and there and go get a bat, and then you get Josh Young back and all these other guys back. I think this Rangers team is very capable. And I told y'all last night, I really wanted – to try and stay away from, and I guarantee I'm going to hop online after this live's over, go through some different fan groups, and no doubt you're going to see people that are saying, same old Rangers, we ought to just sell, blah, 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 and just not see the big picture here. And the big picture is the Rangers are 4-1 on the week. They just came off a 5-game win streak. They're 3.5 games out of first place. Houston most likely going to win tonight. That's why I say 3.5. I know it was 2.5 going into today. The Rangers shouldn't be selling off the team. The Rangers easily could be back in first place. They play the Astros in, what, 1.5 weeks? So I think with that on the horizon, you play Houston in 1.5 weeks or 2 weeks from now. That's a huge opportunity right there. You've definitely got games left with Seattle. I think right now the five-game win streak happening to coincide with the Astros and the Mariners dropping some games, I really don't think there's any reason why the Rangers shouldn't be buyers. That's me. The majority, I'm going to read the comments out loud here. Texas Rangers fans only, what's up, by the way? Appreciate you. And I want to tell everybody watching right now, if you're looking for a good place, an entertaining place, a lot of good people in the group, some polarizing opinions, as I'm about to read in this comment, but a great group nonetheless. Texas Rangers fans only on Facebook. Appreciate y'all watching. Thanks for the support. Bet on the majority of posts blaming Bochy tonight. So I'm assuming, and you can tell me, you can tell me what you think, but I'm assuming that it's probably going to be what, the ninth inning move? The ninth inning move to go with Spores for another one instead of going to Yates? I don't know. Or maybe some kind of other, like, pitching matchup thing? I don't know. I can only imagine. I didn't love going multi-innings for all these different guys. So, like, for example, you had Josh Spores going multi, you had Hernandez going multi. I really don't love pushing some of these guys to multiple innings. If I was going to get on Bochy at all, that's what it would probably be for. I know it's a collective effort with Maddox and their pitching coordinator and all that stuff, but nevertheless, Bochy with the ultimate decision. That's about the only thing that I would probably get on Bochy for. Hey, let's try and give guys some clean innings and not make them pitch more than one. Josh Spores actually has talked about this. You know, when you go multiple innings as a reliever, when you're in for that one inning, the adrenaline is so high and you have to ramp up that adrenaline to another level beyond even what starting pitchers have to ramp it up to, because, you know, I'm going all out for what, 15 to 20 pitches at the most. And then when you're asked to go multiple innings as a reliever, you got to go sit in the dugout for 10 plus minutes and get cold. And then you got to come out and ramp yourself up again. And yes, it is a part of it, but I do think there are some guys that can do it a lot better than others. Personally, I don't think the Rangers have a lot of guys that you can really go multiple innings with. I think there's a few, but I don't think it's a lot. You know, Urania, sure. By the way, it's been a little bit since we've seen him, just kind of going on a random tangent here. Feels like it's been a while since Urania's pitched, but maybe not. But I still say, try not to give multiple innings to too many of our guys. I just don't love it. And I think that the stats would say that we definitely have some people that struggle, some bullpen guys that struggle when they get asked to go more than three outs. All right. The intentional walk, huh? The intentional walk is what they were really talking about. So I don't know. I like the righty on righty. And I really don't think that we're going to have a situation on that line drive where they're not going to score that guy from second. So Baroa was on second base, right? So we're talking about in the bottom of the ninth, they intentionally walked Horwitz, the second baseman for the Blue Jays, who had, I think, a pretty nice game, 1-for-4 on the day with a walk. But he had been hitting the ball hard tonight. So Kirby Yates looked like was trying to locate and paint the bottom of the zone, paint some corners with Horwitz. It wasn't going well, so they intentionally walked him. In my opinion, either way, whether you walk Horwitz or not, Baroa is scoring from second base. He had just stolen second base. I really think it doesn't matter whether Baroa is on third or second. So if that's the argument, I don't see it. Baroa, I think, scores on that line drive to left field either way, whether he's on second or third. Now, if you're arguing they should have attacked Horwitz a little bit more, I could maybe go with that. But at the same time, you're looking at that righty-righty matchup, and I don't know what Yates' splits are against righties versus lefties. I'll try and look it up for you guys right now, see if I can figure it out. Splits, righties versus lefties. So against lefties, he's got an 0.96 average against. So I don't know. I don't know what the plan was there. We would have to ask Bochy, but it's not like Kirby Yates has an issue with lefties. It's not like he has an issue with lefties. So I really think that they were probably trying to be careful with him, knowing that they had the righty on righty coming up, and Horwitz had been hitting the ball hard all night long. But it's not like Kirby Yates has had issues with lefties. He's actually been more dominant against left-handed batters than right-handed batters. So I don't know. You'd have to ask Bochy what they were thinking, if it was kind of like an unintentional, intentional walk, if they always had it in their minds to just go right to the third baseman. Name is eluding me right now for the Blue Jays. Clement, if they just had in their minds, we're going to go right to Clement, kind of unintentionally, intentionally walk Horwitz. I don't know. Bochy would have to go and get asked that tough question. I don't know. Not sure on that one. Question here from Natalie. Why didn't Dunning or Urania throw after Heaney was taken out? I thought that the plan was Dunning goes multiple innings after Heaney. Something must have happened. Maybe the way the game was flowing, they decided to go a different direction. But I did hear that the plan was Dunning to go multiple innings behind Heaney. I don't know. Not sure what happened to that one. And I did not have the broadcast audio on a ton. Not that it was anything personal against the Apple TV guys. I just had other things going on in the background watching the game. But I did hear that before the game. Not sure what happened there. Let me go to this comment from Gio. What's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. The offense was quiet the last four innings. Win the next two games. Go Rangers. Go Rangers indeed. And thanks for the comment. Yeah, last four innings, no runs. That has been a problem for the Rangers, putting up runs late. And as I go back and look at the summary, in the top of the ninth inning, Rangers went 1-2-3. Top of the eighth inning, Rangers almost went 1-2-3. They got Nornelas walk, and then Simeon flied out. Top of the seventh inning, 1-2-3. Top of the sixth inning, we got a Corey Seager single, otherwise 1-2-3. So you're right. The sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth innings were very quiet, and the Rangers really didn't get a whole lot else going. It was unfortunate that Jonah Heim not able to come up big with the bases loaded first time around. I know he did it the second time around, but that was a big moment in the game. You really had Kikuchi on the ropes, and it just wasn't meant to be there for Jonah Heim. Struck out on a pretty bad pitch, did redeem himself when he came up later on with the bases loaded, drove in a couple of runs. So good for him for coming back and getting that big hit after a poor showing the at-bat before. But the Rangers did leave some runners and some runs on the table here. Foscue left runners in scoring position with two outs. Again, the team was 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, 8 left on base. We had Garcia hitting into a double play, I believe. Was it a couple of times? I don't know if it was a couple of times that he hit into a double play, but Dolly had a good night. He had a great night. I can't complain about anything, Adolis Garcia. Hey, good night. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Hopefully Rangers will get a win, get a little bounce back after a tough loss tonight, a walk-off win for the Blue Jays in the bottom of the ninth. I got to say, Foscue looks to be a little bit over his skis right now. I am not a huge fan of continuing to play him. I was willing to give it a shot. But look, they don't really have a whole lot of other options. I think the only other option right now, which I'd actually be open to them doing, and I know that there was a lefty going tonight, I think they need to just DH Robbie Grossman when there's a righty. I don't think they need to mess around with Foscue at the DH position. I think they need to go Robbie Grossman when there's a righty on the mound. You have Wyatt Langford, Leody, Garcia as your outfielders, and then you have Robbie DHing when there's a righty. So I think at this point, just play Robbie every day. I think Foscue's over his skis. He's batting 100 on the year. It's like you would have thought between Wenzel and Foscue, one of those guys would at least be able to hit 250. I mean, you got Wenzel during his time and Foscue both hitting like 150. So I'm ready to let Robbie Grossman DH every day. I mean, if you want to give Foscue some at-bats against lefties, okay. But I'm ready for Robbie Grossman every day at the DH spot until Josh Young comes back. When Josh Young comes back, obviously you can't do that. But right now, I'm DHing Robbie Grossman every day. Foscue can sit on the bench. And then when Josh Young comes back, it's really kind of a moot point. But that's what I'd be doing. I'm kind of tired of the minor league guys coming up. Wenzel, Foscue, clearly not ready. Foscue's had a couple of bright moments, but I'm ready to let the 10-year veteran just get DH and opportunities. You can't sit around and tell me that Robbie Grossman's going to do worse than what Foscue or Wenzel or any of those guys are doing right now. So that's what I'd like to see. We'll see what they go to tomorrow. Don't know what the pitching matchup is like. I'm going to actually go look it up right now. By the way, while I've got it up in front of me, Astros leading 5-0 in the bottom of the eighth. And we've got the Mariners winning 10-0 over the White Sox. Angels are beating the A's 4-2 out in Anaheim. Tomorrow, the Rangers will have Lorenzen, against Gausman. Gausman is a guy that the Rangers have been able to hit in the past. Just going through the numbers, Gausman against the Rangers. Let me bring them your way here. I think we're going to find some favorable ones. Side note, is this going to be Mike Lorenzen's last game as a Texas Ranger? Don't know. I think Lorenzen has been mentioned quite a bit in the trade talks. Is this going to be Mike Lorenzen's last start as a Ranger? We'll see what happens. But back to Gausman against the Rangers lineup. So we've got Doley 2-for-8 with the bomb. Heim 3-for-10 with the bomb. Nate Lowe 3-for-8. Seager hitting 10-for-18 with the bomb. Simeon looks like he is batting 5-for-23 or 6-for-23 with the bomb. Tavares 1-for-5 with the bomb. So we've got a lot of guys that have taken Gausman deep. I think tomorrow is going to be a good day for the Rangers offense. Tomorrow, by the way, 2:00 Texas time start. So that'll be a little after noontime here for me out in Vegas. On the other side, not a lot of Blue Jays having faced Lorenzen. Clement 0-for-3, Guerrero 1-for-3, Jansen 0-for-2, Turner 0-for-3. Those are the only guys that have ABs against Lorenzen. And again, could this be the last time that we see Mike Lorenzen in a Rangers uniform? I think it very well could be the case. Lorenzen has been a huge topic of trade talks at the deadline. I don't know. I would probably, if I had to make a prediction right now, I'd say yes. Probably the last time we see Mike Lorenzen in a Texas Rangers uni. Look, I've loved watching Lorenzen pitch. He has done a phenomenal job for us. I will be sad to see him go. I hope we can get somebody of value for him. It does seem unwise to not trade him, though. With the surplus of pitching, you've got Bradford, who pitched great tonight for Frisco. You've got Malley coming back. You've got DeGrom coming back. The spots are limited, and you've got to get rid of guys, and you don't want to have to DFA certain players. So get what you can for some of these guys that are on the expiring contracts. I would say Lorenzen being one. There's really not a lot of other guys that I would really want to trade, though, beyond him. I know Heaney is on an expiring. I don't think that they're going to be trading Andrew Heaney. That would really, really surprise me. I think they want Andrew Heaney's left-handed arm making a playoff push. And if they get to the playoffs, they are going to need a solid left-handed arm out of the pen along with Jacob Latz. Wonder what their plans are for Brock Burke, the other lefty in the Rangers system. I don't know what they're going to be doing with him, if he's going to be making an appearance when rosters expand later on in the year. We'll see. But I think they need to keep Andrew Heaney around. Their lefty options are very limited if you get rid of Andrew Heaney. So that'll be for tomorrow. Mike Lorenzen versus Kevin Gausman. Gausman 8-8 with a 4.55 ERA on the year. Last seven games, 5.49 ERA. He got roughed up against the Tigers. Had a couple of solid starts against the Giants and the Mariners, but last time out, 6 2/3, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks. So I think that the Rangers should be able to pounce on him tomorrow. A lot of guys in the lineup with good numbers against Kevin Gausman. We'll see what happens. Would be nice for the Rangers to at least secure one win here. At least get a win on Saturday. If you lose on Sunday, it's not the end of the world. That would be a 5-2 week for the Rangers. I'd love to see them win the next two. But I'm not going to go crazy if they only are able to win one of three here in Toronto. Not easy to win ball games, even against the team that's selling. That's the other thing that kind of kills me. You know, baseball is just a crazy sport. It's not college football where you've got Penn State going up against a double-A team. You know, it's... It's like anything can happen on any given night. A pitcher can get hot, the bats can go cold, and even a lowly 70-loss team can get a win. All right, the White Sox, as bad as they are, and they now are on a 12-game losing streak. Like I said, you can make a lot of money off the White Sox right now, just betting them to lose every game. I think anything can happen on any given night. So it's not easy. It's not as easy as saying the Blue Jays are trading away everybody. Why aren't we beating them? It's because baseball is a tough game, and any given night, you can lose. Right? Even the best team in baseball can lose against the worst team in baseball. That's what I love about the sport. Don't get too high or low with this series. I don't want to see them get swept. I don't think that would be good. You lose the last four games before the trade deadline. Now maybe CY is thinking twice. I think you got to go 2-2 the rest of the way before the deadline. You won the first four against the White Sox. You have four games before the trade deadline. You lost the one tonight. There's three games left. Can we go 2-2 before the deadline on Tuesday? So let's win two over the next 3 days, and let's go into the trade deadline ready to acquire another bat. That that is going to take us back to the promised land. That is the plan. And hopefully Josh Jung comes back, maybe in the Cardinal series. Maybe we'll get Josh Jung in back in that series if all goes well. I could see something like that. Cody Bradford, Malley back maybe next week too. I think the Rangers have a lot of positives. I mean, that's almost as good as acquiring a good player, getting all those guys back from injury. But we'll see. I think we talked about Justin Foscue, MLB.com. The writer said he is a prospect that the Rangers should look to trade and get some value for. Foscue really with not a very super clear path to playing time. So maybe you deal a guy like that. Kind of the same issue with Walcott. Not saying that we're going to deal Walcott at this deadline, but I'm not sure where Walcott is going to play unless Corey Seager is moving over to first base, which, look, I'm being a little bit reactive here, but I am not super, super impressed with Sieg's defense this year. And I love Corey Seager. Those of y'all that have been following me for a long time, you know I love Corey Seager. One of my favorite, probably my favorite player in the major leagues. But I've just not been impressed with the defense from Corey Seager this year. Just seems like he's a step behind, and it's just not as sharp as what I've seen in the past from him. I know he made some absolutely killer plays down the stretch for us. I think about the one he made in Arizona in the World Series, the diving stop. Aroldis Chapman was in the game. Was that game four, I believe? Maybe game five? I don't know. I can't remember. Flipped it, you know, diving stop, flipped it to Simi for the double play. Seegs has got it in him. I'm not saying he's terrible, but I have heard the rumblings that Corey Seager eventually is going to make that transition to first base. I would be here for it at some point, not next year necessarily, maybe not even the year after that, but I really do think Corey Seager moving to first base eventually wouldn't be the worst thing. And you guys know I'm a Corey Seager apologist to the death, but I do think they probably have some dudes. Ornelas, I feel, plays a better shortstop than Corey Seager does at this point. I think Walcott, from what I've heard, has got a pretty decent glove, got some good range, good speed. So we'll see what happens with Corey Seager. But Foscue, going back to him, a guy that they could potentially look to deal, maybe you lump him in with Lorenzen and you can get something special. Who knows? But Lorenzen would probably be a guy that you trade to a contender, maybe somebody in the National League, preferably somebody that you don't have to play against in the playoffs. I don't think Lorenzen and Foscue would probably be a package deal if I had to guess. I think they're probably trading minor league guys to get the right-handed bat or lefty outfielder that they want. So I'm trying to remember exactly what the wording was that I read in the Rosenthal article. I know Texas Rangers fans only popped on and said, pump the brakes on it. But I will say this. I remember they're looking for a left-handed outfielder. This was according to the Rosenthal report. The Rangers are interested in a left-handed outfielder with some pop or a right-handed, like, a utility-type player. So not like a bench guy, but like a guy you can kind of move around who's solid. But I think that with the Evan Carter injury, which I know a couple of you guys mentioned before, with the Evan Carter injury, I do think they're interested in acquiring an outfielder. And I think that would be a wise move at this point. I don't know who they're going to go out and get. Maybe you go get a Luis Robert. I don't love the strikeouts from Robert, and I know he's not a lefty, but maybe that's an outfielder. Paredes, we talked about him. He's a corner infield guy. Yandy Diaz has also been linked somewhat to the Rangers. He's a corner infield guy. Outfielders, I don't really know. A Michael Conforto for the Giants, maybe he's an option. I like his swing. I don't know what he brings defensively, but I like Michael Conforto's swing. He was a really, really highly touted prospect coming up with the Mets. We'll see what happens. I'm really curious to see what direction the Rangers go. But let's talk a little bit about Evan Carter. Let's talk about Evan Carter. So big news was Evan Carter is shut down. He has had a setback in his recovery from a back injury. And I got to tell you, Evan Carter, I think I said this to y'all when he first got hurt, but Evan Carter is a young 20-something, right? Is he 22? He's 21 years old. Okay, he's 21 years old, and he's already had multiple back injuries. That's not good. That's not good. You're 21 years old, and you're already dealing with back issues. Now, look, I'm in my 30s, and I'm starting to get the aches and pains thing. I'm not a Major League Baseball player, but you're 21 with back issues. That's just not good. That can be something that lingers on for your entire career. So I really hope that the outlook is more positive than what I just said. But my first thought with all of this going on with Evan Carter and the back stuff, I just really don't know if he's going to be a guy that can have a super long career in the majors. And maybe that's an emotional hot take, but you're 21 with multiple back injuries already. Look, I would get it if he was a 35-year-old, you know, at the back nine of his career. Evan Carter's 21 and has already had multiple back issues. Just not good, y'all. It's not good. I really hope that the shutdown will get him 100% for later in the year or for next season, whatever their plan is for him. But not good. Just not good. So Evan Carter, can't imagine he's going to be back anytime soon. Maybe we'll see him in, like, September. Maybe he'll do what he did last year, come back in September, and just light it up for us. Maybe that's a pipe dream, but I really feel like Evan Carter is probably going to have these recurring issues with the back from time to time throughout his career. I just don't think it's a good sign for him. I feel bad for the guy. 21 years old, and you've already got back problems. I get it if you were Max Scherzer or Kirby Yates pushing 40, but you're a 21-year-old. Sometimes it's just bad luck. And we're not sitting here blaming Evan Carter like he's done this to himself. Sometimes he can't control these things. But back issues this early in your career is just not a good sign. It's not good. I do agree. I think Corey Seager, maybe it's the hernia thing. Maybe there's something else nagging him. I don't know. But like I said, it does feel like, especially out at shortstop, Siegs was never like the most fleet of foot on the base pass, but it does seem like maybe he's lost a half step out there at shortstop. The range just doesn't seem to be there. He feels very careful in his movements, if that makes sense. Like, it's all very gingerly walking around, doing stuff like that. So, I don't know. I really feel like at this point, Corey Seager is probably trending towards DH-ing and maybe playing a little first base at the end of his career. I really don't feel like he's going to be a guy that sticks at shortstop beyond maybe the next 3-4 years, if I had to guess. We'll see. Let me keep going to comments here. Frankie, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you. Enjoy the last little bit of summer, man. It is winding down quick. They also said they also have to figure out where Cook and Dreiling will play if they want them in the majors. Yeah, look, I don't know. And maybe that's something down the road that they'll have to worry about. I don't know if that's something in the immediate future that they're really going to have to deal with. Like I said, it looks like at the trade deadline, the Rangers are going to be looking around at outfielders, which makes sense. I don't think they want to rely on Leody the rest of the way. You don't have Evan Carter coming back. You DFA'd Derek Hill. You can't really count on Jankowski to give you a ton of production. Robbie Grossman is not really a great defensive outfielder. It's a guy you kind of want coming off the bench and spot starting. So it totally makes sense with the Evan Carter injury that you would want to go out and get an outfielder. Makes total sense to me. So we will see. We'll see what happens here. All right, y'all, let me keep going. We talked about the matchup for tomorrow and putting a bow on tonight. Tough luck loss. I think the Rangers could have won this game. They left 8 runners on base, only went 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Andrew Heaney actually pitched pretty well. The Seager miscue in the first inning, I think, really set a bad tone for the game. Not blaming Corey for the entire loss. Trust me, there were other things that could have been sharper, but he just felt like that missed opportunity with the double play would have sat the Blue Jays down in the bottom of the first. It would have been 1-0 heading to the top of the second. Instead, it's 3-1 heading to the top of the second. I just don't think it set a good tone for the rest of the game. Hopefully the Rangers can be a little bit sharper tomorrow. Glad Siegs made up for it with the bat. He went 2-for-5 on the night. But when you let up runs like that, when you clearly should have got out of the inning, when you give the team extra at-bats across from you, it never usually works out well. So I chalk this one up to a little bit of bad luck. Hopefully the Rangers can bounce back tomorrow with a big game. That's the plan. All right, let me check on the scores one last time from around the league. I believe Houston is closing things out against the Dodgers here in the late innings. Mariners already won 10-0. Looks like the Houston game went final. 5-0 is the score. So the Rangers now 3.5 games out of first place, 2.5 games out of second place. And if I had to guess, probably now 6 games out of the wild card. I'm just guesstimating there based on what I saw last night. Let me take a look here. Looks like wild card, they are out 5.5 right now. So look, the wild card, I wouldn't say super likely, but that being said, 5.5 games, 57, 58 games left. It's not a foregone conclusion that they could come back and do something there, maybe sneak in through a wild card berth. But I do think at this point, the division is no doubt the focus. Let me go ahead and go to MLB.com. Let's look at some headlines from around the league. I don't think there's a whole lot else worth noting from this one. Nope, we're going to move forward. So the headlines from around the league, the Arozarena trade. I think that it's definitely a boost for the Mariners. I was going back and forth with some people during the day today in that Texas Rangers fans only group on Facebook that I reference so often. And I think that it's a helpful thing for the Mariners, but Arozarena, since that 2020 pop, slowly has gone down, down, down. Look, it's still like decent production, like 20 homers, you know, 75 plus RBI. He's not a bad player. I'm not trying to make him out to be a player that's just not good or totally trash. But I do think Arozarena popped in that COVID year when the Dodgers beat the Rays in the World Series and Arozarena was on fire. But I don't think Arozarena puts the Mariners over the top. I don't think it gives them like the favorite chance to win the division. They go out and acquire another bat, I would say maybe now they're cooking with gas, but I don't think Arozarena by himself puts them on a track to win the division now. Just my two cents. Agree, disagree. It's a nice pickup for them. Mariners still have a league worst batting average. I think it's like 216 or 217. Nice pickup for them. I can't sit around, though, and say, man, this puts them over the top. But Arozarena, all the rage today on MLB.com. So Rays kind of in full sail mode right now with Paredes and Diaz likely to be on the move as well. They've decided to focus on 2025 from what it looks like. Profar plays hero as Padres claw out sixth straight win over, looks like tonight it was Baltimore. So Padres are catching fire right now. They beat the Orioles in Baltimore 6-4. Manny Machado making his return back to Baltimore. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. But Profar plays hero tonight, six straight for the Padres. Red Sox and Yankees playing this weekend. Looks like the Red Sox got the win 9-7 in Boston at Fenway Park. They overcame Judge, having a nice night at the plate. Thrilling series opening win for them. I always love watching that Boston-New York series. I think I mentioned that to y'all before, but it's just one of those classic rivalries that I'll always enjoy watching. I'm a Rangers fan first and foremost, but I'm a baseball fan. Absolutely a blast watching series like that. And then looks like Freddie Freeman out right now. So maybe a reason why the Dodgers a little down offensively. Freddie Freeman's son has been hospitalized. So the Dodgers are missing him this weekend. Look, obviously his family comes first. Hopefully his son will be okay. Thoughts and prayers going that family's way. Freddie Freeman's always struck me as one of the good guys in the game. Being totally selfish, it's too bad he has to be out against the Astros. It's just how it worked out. But, of course, that doesn't matter at all. Hope his son gets better and that all is well. Trying to read if there's anything going on. Transient, this is what he's battling. Transient synovitis, an illness that has progressed from a viral infection. So that's what's going on with Freddie Freeman's son. He is back in L.A. at a hospital with his family. Thoughts and prayers to the Freeman family. Hopefully everything will be okay there. Let me keep going down and heading towards the bottom of these headlines. I think that is about it. Senga for the Mets made his debut for the season, but exited with an injury. You never want to see that. That's just terrible. Senga finally comes off the IL. Big acquisition, big pitcher for the Mets, making his season debut, leaves with an injury. You just can't make it up. So those are the headlines for today. Hopefully the Rangers will get back on track tomorrow. Y'all, disappointing loss, but hopefully they can take the next two, go to St. Louis, maybe win their next three heading into the trade deadline. Leave no doubt. We'll see what CY does with the moves. I want to say a special thank you to everybody watching live today. If you're not following, you're not subscribed to the channel, I would greatly appreciate if you did so. Stay updated every time we go live. Keep up with all of our latest and greatest content. Hey, if you know somebody that loves Rangers baseball or loves baseball in general, please tell them about my channel. Tell them about the account. Forward them. Share with them one of my videos. I would be greatly appreciative. Hope to see you maybe tomorrow after the game. It'll be probably, let me see here, like a 5 p.m. Texas time live, something like that, if I had to guess. I'll probably go live about 3 p.m. my time here after the Rangers game. We'll put out a video in the morning going through our system, betting 1 cent on a Rangers win for every follower. We are getting ever so close, y'all, to 10K, ever so close to 10K across all platforms. Big milestone for us here at Ride On Rangers. We started with zero back in January of 2023. So we've been going at this for about a year and a half, up to almost 10,000 total followers across all platforms. Want to say a special thank you to you guys for making that happen. All the likes, the views, all that stuff from you guys. Big reason why the channel has continued to grow. So again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for the support. You guys are much appreciated. So hope to see you on the live maybe tomorrow or on the replay at some point. If I don't see you, until next week, have a great rest of your weekend. Hope y'all have a great Friday night. Be safe. And as I always say to end every show, God bless. Go Rangers. Have a good one, y'all. Bye now.